10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. Got our friend Matt Bowen from ESPN, former Tausch teammate, former Iowa Hawkeye, who was on the field for Ron Dane, breaking the rushing record against them. Tausch, I keep hearing Jesse reference Matt LaFleur's lame answer to the rivalry. Jesse, what's your issue with Matt LaLame in his answer?
I mean, it's Packers-Bears. It's the most historic and arguably most iconic rivalry in the National Football League. It's what they led the 100th season with, defying the rules of the Super Bowl champion hosting the opening Thursday night game because they wanted to showcase that specific rivalry. It means a lot. Why does our head coach have to be up there going, it's the same as any game. That's kind of cool. I don't really care about stuff like that. Play into it. Have some fun. This is a huge game this weekend. You got them twice in a couple of weeks here. And it's playing for the NFC North title, for the potential number one seed in the playoffs, for sure for playoff positioning, if nothing else. We can acknowledge that it's a big deal when these two teams are playing this year because they've both had great seasons. You're not lying to anybody, and it seems more ridiculous to try and avoid that than to just address it head on.
Do you want them to take I don't even know how I would describe the shot that Ben Johnson took at him in his introductory press conference, other than poorly
awkward.
Delivered.
Yeah,
awkward.
That's silly. Yeah.
Like, what do you want? Like, I don't know. Like, who? Help me out here. What exactly do you want Matt LaFleur to say?
Yeah,
because
Jesse,
you clearly didn't like what he said.
Ask me the question.
Well, it was lame, he said.
I'm Matt LaFleur.
From the cheap seats.
Ask me the question at the presser.
Hey, Matt. Obviously, this has been a pretty one-sided rivalry.
Your eyebrows don't look as good as they used to. That's how you'd open, Jason.
No.
Oh,
Matt, this rivalry was pretty one-sided for a long time, and now you guys are battling going into Sunday for the number one seed in the NFC. Does that make this rivalry better because you two are both good at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that it makes it better. It's obviously the best rivalry in the National Football League, but having both teams competing for the top spot in the division and the conference.
Sounds like a pretty lame answer so far, doesn't it, Tausch?
There's definitely some extra...
Yeah, I'm bored already. I'm taking a nap.
There's definitely some extra juice heading into this game, and I know our guys are excited for it. Our fans are certainly excited for it, and we're ready
to
get out there
off
on Sunday.
That was not a significant upgrade.
What are you doing? That was boring.
Compared to what he said.
I don't even know what. If we're gonna do role play here, you better bring some. So don't criticize from the cheap seats, and then get the opportunity to role play, and then you do something lamer than he did.
Well, then you do it then.
Well, it's a good rivalry. I think it's a good. It'll be a fun battle between the Great and Gold and the Chicago Bears. What a great history we have here!
Boo! I'd be booing you in the studio.
Go boo
if
in a
I
press
in there
conference.
Right now.
Go boo in a bar.
That's what you came up with.
That was lame. Lame.
It's still lame. Better than what he said, and it acknowledges that there's extra to the...
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm trying to get both of those thoughts out of my head because I should use that tonight when I'm trying to go night-night. Oh, what did Jesse say again? I'm gonna hit that pod at what time? 10:20. I'm gonna hit the 10:20 pod, and I'll be asleep before I know it. Thank you, Jesse, for your service because that was brutal.
Tausch, tell us about Tito's and get us out of this conversation.
I don't even know if I can. I'm so enthralled by that enthusiastic answer. But I always have time for Tito's. And whether it's the morning, you want to have a little Bloody Mary. If it's the afternoon, you want to mix it with whatever you like. Or fall, a little cranberry in the evening. Just make sure it's Tito's. It's always Tito's in my glass. And, you know, not only do they make great drinks, they also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll talk to Matt Bowen coming up. But before that, Taush, you know that I've been a staunch supporter of this. I love that you and Sarah do this all the time. We've talked before about the AmFam Children's Hospital with UW Health. You never want to take advantage of its existence, right? You never want to actually need it. But to know that it's there in Madison is such a comfort. And it has been obviously a passion for you and Sarah to support it. It's Giving Tuesdays. Today feels like a good day to remind everyone how they can support it.
Indeed it is, Jason and Sarah. We were talking this morning. It is Giving Tuesday, and I know there's a lot of great causes out there. We're not trying to raise all $50,000 today. That is the number we want to get to by the end of the year. But Sarah and I, we said, you know what, if we can get people today to get up to $5,000, we will match that to get it to 10. So we're trying to get another five today. We're matching it. So we're hoping today to raise $10,000. We're trying to get all the way to 50, and we are teaming up with American Family Insurance through a virtual toy drive benefiting the American Family Children's Hospital. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that will help thousands of children and families across the country. And again, American Family Insurance matches every dollar all the way up to $50,000 through the end of the year. And for today, on Giving Tuesday, we got 5K. We're trying to get everybody to help. We get it to 10. That keeps chipping away on our quest to get to that $50,000, which AmFam will match and will then go $100,000 to the American Family Children's Hospital. So any support you can help, we appreciate it.
Matt Bowen of ESPN joins us next. It's Wildy and Taush.
This is Wildy and Taush, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Wildy and Taush back with you. Tom Brady. Jamal Lewis. Plaxico Burress. Ron Dayne. And Mark Tauscher and Matt Bowen. All members of the 2000 NFL draft class. And Tom Brady does not join us now, but Matt Bowen does. Matt, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Didn't get Brady on today?
We couldn't. We've had Chris
week.
McIntosh on. He's a member of that class,
that's true.
Yes, he is. Great player.
Matt, you know how much we love you, and thank you for making time for us. I know we've been trying to get you on for a while for your insights into the NFL, but we have to start. And I know this went quasi-viral, but it was so good. You obviously not only are a former NFL player and an ESPN analyst and a husband and a dad, you also coach high school football. Mm-hmm. And Taush, immediately after seeing this on social media,
awesome,
texted me. We would like you to just say the same thing you said on some other station about high school football.
Even spruce it up a little more, Matt,
yeah,
so we go viral
better,
if you could.
That'd be great.
Right. So I've been coaching at IC Catholic for 11 years now. And I've been a part of some really good football teams there, four state title teams. And I was on the radio last week talking about the end of our season. We lost in the state quarterfinals. And my point of all that, guys, was to kind of break down why I coach and what the values of coaching are and what your end goals are, correct? So, you know, much different than Bears-Packers, right? Bears-Packers is the business of winning. We all understand that. Matt LaFleur goes to the playoffs, and they don't win a football game. It's not a successful season. We understand that. But at the high school level, it's different because instead of having one goal, which is a state championship, which is very hard to get, and that being your only goal, which I said was very hollow, your goal could be to buy time. And the way you buy time if you're a state playoff team is winning games, right? So you win a game, you win the first round, that buys you 7 more days to coach, 7 more days to work with the kids, 7 more days for a player like my son Grant, who's a sophomore, to work with seniors he absolutely looks up to more than anything right now. And that was the point of that discussion, was we bought 3 more weeks this year during the state playoffs. It's 21 days. And those days are priceless for kids, especially seniors. And if you just play high school football and that's when the music stops, or does for the majority of kids, getting those extra 21 days means everything to you. So you can never say your season's a failure if you don't win a state title. I just don't believe in that, because I think it sets a bad precedent for kids. I think it sets a goal that is very hard to get. To win a state championship, the teams I was a part of, you need a lot of luck too. You need the ball to bounce your way. You need to be healthy. You need to, you know, have some kids make some plays in critical game moments, which is hard to count on when you're looking at 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. So you need a lot of luck in those situations. So my whole point of that discussion was to say that you are playing this game and coaching this game to buy more time together as a football team. And I said, I have no problem saying no. I had a hard time with that as a former player, because I didn't go to the Rose Bowl. Tausch did. I understand that. That was my goal, going to Iowa. I wanted to play in Pasadena. It didn't happen. You know, I wanted to win a Super Bowl championship. It didn't happen. I always go back, Tausch, that 2002 team we had that lost at home to Atlanta. I thought that was a Super Bowl football team. And we didn't play well enough against Atlanta and Michael Vick to make that happen. But I go back to those moments. And when I started coaching guys, I remember the man who hired me, I said to him right away, I have to win. That's exactly what I said. And I'm ashamed that I did say it. But that's where I was mentally with football at that point in my life, that I had to win. I just had to be a part of a winning team. It was something that really, really bothered me. It really hurt me mentally for years and years and years. And then when I started coaching, I said, you know what? This is, you know, the winning is great. It's fun. But that's not what it's really about at that level. It's not the business of winning. And I've always said this about high school football. High school football, especially now what's going on in college, high school football is the last line of competitive innocence. Because if you do go play college football now, it is much different than when Tausch and I played. Much different. And there's a lot of money involved. And it is exactly like Sundays now, where it is the business of winning. So high school is still, to me, so different and so sacred. And as a coach, you should have a perspective on it to buy time, not to win titles.
Matt, how did you change the perspective? Because you went in there, and now you've been doing it for a long time. But the competitor and the, you know, the career that you had, when did the switch flip for you to have the mentality you have now compared to when you walked in the door first as a coach?
Okay, great question, Tausch. My first season was 2015 coaching. We had a really good football team. We went to the state semifinals, and we lost to Bishop McNamara, who was extremely talented down in Kankakee. And it was at home in the snow. They put it on us. And I think it changed after the football game when I saw the seniors and saw how emotional they were and how much this meant to them to be a part of that program, to play just high school football in general, and to make it that far, because we weren't a team that was supposed to go that far my first year. And to see what they did, how they accomplished that, and to play as a football team together and to win 4 state playoff games. So now you're buying 28 extra days. And I remember coming home from that game and talking to my wife, saying, you know what? This was an awesome season. And we didn't win a state title. And I thought we overachieved at points. But, you know, to be a part of that and to see the impact it had on the kids, I think that's when it really switched for me, is that I'm doing this because I want to pay it forward as a football coach and a former player, but also to see kids develop. And it's not just football in general. Everyone knows, any football team, there are kids that are not stars. I've always said the greatest thing about high school sports isn't to be football. It can be soccer, girls, volleyball, whatever you want to talk about. It provides an outlet for kids at a very hard time in their life socially, because I think high school in general is awkward at times. And it provides an outlet. It provides a peer group that you don't normally have. It provides relationships that last forever that you wouldn't normally have unless you were a student-athlete. And on top of that, and I'm big in academics, it forces you to be a better student. You have to manage your time when you have practice after school. You got to manage your time when you have lifting in the morning or workouts in the morning. And it forces you to study more, to manage your time, to be prepared for the next school day, but also be prepared for practice at the same time. it is one of the greatest teaching tools around. I've always said this too. My wife's a teacher. My mom was a teacher. My brother and sister-in-laws are teachers. Big with academics in our house. But there are so many things on the athletic field, the court, the ice, that are just simply not taught in the classroom. So I think you need that outlet. So Tausch, a roundabout way of saying it, but it really gave me a much wider scope of what high school sports is.
Now you know why.
Scope, I would think.
This is, Matt, this is why we think the world of you. Let me ask you one other question on this before, because we got to get the Bears-Packers and your insights on that. How do you manage the fine line, though, right? Because kids and certainly parents want to win. There are different perspectives. Like, your team is full of kids that all have different, like, they all want to win, and they all want to enjoy playing with each other and as teammates, but some have college aspirations. Others are hyper-competitive and maybe don't appreciate the other parts. So how do you as a coach kind of find that balance? Because I think from we've all been parents and experienced youth sports and high school sports, and that is not an easy line to walk.
No, it's not. I think your tone has to be correct when you talk to parents. I can go back to, I think this is a good example. I coached Grant for 3 years in Pop Warner football here. And my first speech to the parents at the beginning of the season was, I am not in this to win trophies. I'm not in this to win a state Pop Warner championship. I'm definitely not in it to go down to the national tournament in Florida. That's not why I'm doing this. My job here is to develop your son or daughter to be ready for high school sports. That's what my job is. You're on the doorstep of high school sports. So my job as a coach at the youth level is to give you the skills, the development, the coaching that can put you in a better position to be ready to play high school sports. And that's the speech I always gave. It wasn't about winning, not in Pop Warner. I'm not trying to win a trophy in Pop Warner. I'll tell you that right now. And at the high school level, yes, Jason, everyone wants to win. I understand that. But you have to understand the way your tone when you talk to people is that this is how we run our program. Yes, we want to win. We're going to put your kid in a position to play successful football. But it's not really about that at the end of the day. Is we want to develop your kid to be a complete athlete and a complete student athlete. And when you do that, that does usually translate to winning, right? When you do the right things as a coach, when you, in terms of how you talk to kids, how you manage kids, how you manage their families, it usually does translate to winning if you're doing the right things. But just coming in, staying state championship or bust, it's just not going to fly with me. It's just not.
All right. Well, we've got an opening at Ashwaubenon High School, so we'll talk about that off the air when we're done. In the meantime, it is about winning for Packers Bears. And
sure is.
The person I need to ask you about, we've got Ben Johnson saying that they're winning in spite of their passing game, not because of it. You've got Caleb Williams completing 58.7% of his passes, and yet the Bears are still 9-3, and it does seem like Caleb Williams, with a different coach, has taken some steps forward. How do you view the Chicago Bears, especially offensively, and especially Caleb Williams?
Well, I think offensively right now, the foundation of their team is the running game. They are running the ball at an extremely high rate. I think what they did in the offseason is really showing in terms of the upgrades they made in the interior of the offensive front, what they did in free agency and trades to add to the interior of the offensive front. And if you go back and watch the tape this past Friday versus Philly, they were moving that Philadelphia defensive line off the football. Not many teams have done that to Philly up front. And what that does, that creates downhill running lanes. They have running backs to play with vision. They're decisive with the football. They're getting through to the second level. So I think that's where it starts. The foundation is the run game. But ultimately, the run game, I think it allows you to compete in football games. But in the NFL, if you want to win, you want to win at Lambeau Field, you want to get in the playoffs to win, you're going to have to throw to win still. You're going to have to make plays in the passing game. And I agree, Jason, what you said. Caleb Williams has improved under Ben Johnson. There's no question about that, especially under center, when he's put in a position where he plays with more rhythm and timing. Especially in breaking routes. He can drive the football. He's a term high RPM thrower to the middle of the field. The issue for him right now is the location or the accuracy. I think he has some misses every week on the tape. Part of that is lower body mechanics. Part of that is arm angle. Part of that is really just development as a professional football player and working with a brand new coach. So the point of that is you've seen improvement with Ben Johnson. And I think unfortunately, in our business, everyone expects immediate results. With a young quarterback who is still learning, still developing, and still fixing his overall throwing mechanics, it's going to take some time. The thing Caleb has done throughout the course of this season, especially since they've been winning football games, is he is very capable of making a big play late in football games. He did it last Friday in the touchdown throw to Kmet. You know, the off-platform plays, the second reaction throws. He is a natural playmaker. And I think from a perspective of the Green Bay Packers, that's something you really have to try to prepare for, especially on third downs inside the red zone, when he can make those plays outside of structure and put points on the board.
Matt, on the flip side, the defense for Chicago beat up at the linebacker spot. How do you see that group holding up against Green Bay's offense?
Well, that's going to be the question, Tosh. I think that's been the matchup for the Bears the last couple of weeks when they're down their starting linebackers. Can they win in first and second down situations? You know, does Matt LaFleur take advantage of that? Is it more run heavy with Josh Jacobs early in the football game? More play action heavy when you're dealing with, you know, your second team linebackers and their eye discipline? Are they stepping downhill too quickly? Is that opening intermediate windows for Jordan Love to create big plays? But the linebacker position is something that we both need to watch come this Sunday at Lambeau and how they play against Matt LaFleur's offense. But the Bears defense in general, I mean, I haven't seen a team like this take the ball away that consistently since Lovie Smith was here in Chicago. I mean, that is a major part of what they're doing. And it's hard to teach. It's hard to count on every week. But they really have a culture of taking the football away, and they're getting the most out of the players. Look at Kevin Byer. Kevin Byer is playing some of the best football he has in the last 5 years in the league. He's well into his 30s. His play speed has declined. But then you look at this year and you say, well, the play speed is faster. He's got more range over the top of the defense. Dennis Allen is putting him in position to make plays at multiple levels of the field. Nashawn Wright was a corner that was thrown into the mix because they had injuries. He's got 5 interceptions. So you have all these guys that are making plays. And I've said this going back to last offseason. You know, Ben Johnson hire took all the hype, and I understand that. But the Dennis Allen hire was critical for this football team. Critical. Because of what they do defensively. Remember the last couple years of Matt Eberflus, it was very zone heavy, very static. With Dennis Allen, they're going to throw a bunch of Jordan Love. And look, Jordan Love's played a lot of football. He will have opportunities to read it out post-snap, but they're going to make him work. That's the great thing about the top defense coordinator. It doesn't matter if you're playing against Jordan Love, Mahomes, Josh Allen. They're going to make you work. They're going to change the picture post-snap consistently. They're going to show pressure to drop out. They're going to bring late pressure. They're going to spin the safeties. And that's going to be the challenge also for Jordan Love this week, is to ID those changes after the snap.
So, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. I think obviously optimism's high down in Chicago. They've been able to win a lot of close games. But I just get the sense that everybody is kind of, they're excited, but hesitant to really open up until the Chicago Bears can come up to Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers. Is that a fair assessment, you being down there? Or is it where, you know, the Bears are back and it's ready to roll? Well, what is the psyche of a Bears fan down in Chicago right now?
I think it's exactly what you said initially, that they want to see more. Because some of these wins, and look, winning football games, Tosh can tell you, it's hard to win a game on Sunday. I don't care who you're playing. Those games are hard to win. But, you know, I think ultimately Bears fans are looking at the next 3 weeks with 2 games against the Green Bay Packers. And then at the end of the season with the Detroit Lions. You know, can you win those football games? Can you get a split with Green Bay, first of all? Can you still play at a high energy level when you have Cleveland next week before you play Green Bay again? And can you beat Detroit late in the season at home? I think those are the games you're looking at right now because, yes, the Bears are 9-3, but you got 3 divisional games left. Plus you have the San Francisco 49ers too. So there's a lot to play out here. I think some Bears fans, sure, want to plan the parade on LaSalle Street already, okay? We understand that. I think the majority of Bears fans are still waiting to see how they play starting this Sunday.
Is that the same street that Ferris Bueller has the parade on where he's singing Dunkashane? Or maybe that's...
No, LaSalle Street's when they originally had the parade. I think it's when they had the White Sox parade in 05.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's around there.
The St. Patrick's Day parade that Dr. Richard Kimball is in. All right, we're talking to our guy Matt Bowen on Wilde and Tausch. A couple things about the Packers, Matt, before we let you go. One, when it comes to, you mentioned Jordan Love. I'm fascinated. Mm-hmm. There's like this subset of Packers fans that just don't believe in him. There's another one that thinks that he's Patrick Mahomes already. Somewhere in the middle is where I fall, which he has made a ton of progress toward being a really, really good quarterback. And I think he's learned from some of his earlier season mistakes. How do you view Jordan Love from your seat?
I think he's still an elevating player. I think if you were putting a grade on him at the end, you would say the arrow is still pointing up, which means there's still development to happen. But there's no question he has the traits and tools to get there. I think if you watched the game last week, it showed you a lot. Some of the throws he made, those were absolute lasers. You know, standing tall in the pocket, moving in the pocket, playing with poise in the pocket, getting through his reads. So I look at a player there and say, no, he's not at the level of Patrick Mahomes. I think we all understand that. But it's someone who is developing and can play at an extremely high level. Sure, there's still room to grow there. But if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, I think you have to like what you have there. Especially when you're pairing with Matt LaFleur. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Coach LaFleur. I don't understand it. I think he's one of the top play callers in the league. I still think the run game is the foundation of that offense. That's part of that coaching tree. But Matt LaFleur can coach. There's no question about that.
What about when you look on the defensive side of the ball and obviously what Micah Parsons has brought, but you were talking about making quarterbacks work. I think that's something that Jeff Hafley believes in, a lot of disguise stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you view, how good is this defense in your mind, and how special has Micah Parsons been through 12 games?
Well, I'll start with Parsons. Obviously the move of the year in the National Football League. I mean, he's up there with Myles Garrett. I still think Myles Garrett is the best player overall right now, but Micah Parsons is pretty close just in terms of the impact, the difference-making, the ability they have. You know, part of the reasons you bring in Micah Parsons also is to be that fourth-quarter closer for you, someone who's going to win the game for you. You know, when you have to get a stop late, he's the one, might not necessarily make the play, but he's going to force the play every time. Quickest, you know, the best closing speed in the NFL, a matchup issue all the time because of what he can do off the edge. And you can even drop him into coverage also. We've seen that before too. But Parsons is right now in the NFC North the ultimate decision maker. Now, I've always been a fan of the secondary. I love what they do in the secondary. McKinney's one of my favorite players to study just because of his versatility. He can roll down. He can play from depth. We know what he did last year in terms of the on-the-ball production. Nixon's made a lot of plays in the ball this year. He's been targeted a lot, but he's made a lot of plays in the ball as well. Buller's one of my favorites to study, too. I remember watching his tape at Georgia, someone who could play in the slot for you but also play at a safety position. So what we're really talking about here under Hafley is a lot of guys with versatility at the third level, and that makes you a better defense.
All right, Matt, we know you've got a lot of other things on your plate. You did mention Matt LaFleur, though. I wanted to ask you one follow-up on that because I think you and I are in agreement there. I don't understand portion of the fan base, their frustration. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a point to be made that he, and I think this has been the criticism of some, has tailored the running game to what Josh Jacobs wants versus to what the offense is best at in terms of play action off of it and everything else. How do you view that balancing act?
Well, that's a great question because that's why I brought up the run game as a foundation. You look at Shanahan, McVay, this coaching tree, that's what they do. It's a heavily schemed run game. And I agree you can be more creative at times in terms of play action. I think that needs to be more of a major part of their offense. Because when you can run the ball, and it doesn't have to be running for 300 yards a game, but when you can run the ball a certain way and mirror your pass game off it so everything looks the same. And I can tell you from the perspective of a former defensive back that it's very hard to prepare for. Because sooner or later, your eyes get very greedy as a defensive back. And you make the wrong read because you want to make a play and you want to make something happen. And that's when you can really take advantage of a defense when the run game and the pass game look almost identical 80% of the time, and Matt LaFleur can do that.
He wore number 28, I think, during his two seasons in Green Bay, but he's number one for us when it comes to NFL analysis. How do you like that? That's clever, isn't it? That was good.
Pretty good stuff.
Very good.
Matty, you're the greatest, man. We appreciate you so much. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Thank you.
God, we are always smarter when we talk to him. He is just so...
His high school sports stuff, and I know we reached out around when our high school championships were going on. I text one of my buddies that coaches. I could not recommend it. I hope Jesse, being the wise producer he is, put that out there because that is knowledge for everybody. Parents, kids, coaches. If we could abide by it, which is a lot easier, a lot harder, man, that was good. That was good stuff.
And look, the other stuff, you joke about sound graphs all the time. There's like four other ones not about the high school stuff.
His Jordan Love stuff was pretty good there. I'm kind of excited about that.
About Caleb Williams, like about Matt LaFleur. Like he's so good at what he does, and we always love it when we get to catch up with him, and I'm glad, Tausch, you sent along what he did say about high school football then, and he was nice enough to repeat it with us. He's the best. So is Jones Dairy Farm, and those videos that you continue to produce are right up there as well.
Yeah, there's going to be some fun ones coming up with the volleyball squad starting their tournament. But it all comes back to Jones Dairy. Jones Dairy Farm, family-owned and operated. Seven generations in Fort Atkinson, all the way back to 1889. Best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe, available in pork, chicken, and turkey in the sausage. All of it made with fresh meat only. None of those fillers, nitrites, MSG, or gluten. And Jones products are perfect for the holidays over the Thanksgiving. You get that sausage roll, put that in your stuffing. You also got those great smoked holiday hams that'll add a lot of flavor to your table. Head over to jonesdairyfarm.com to find all of Jones products and their availability in grocery stores all across Wisconsin.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I think we're starting to stumble into some pretty good royalty-free tunes here.
I love it.
We haven't even gotten
any Christmas music, yacht rock. We're just dumbing into these.
The world is our oyster.
Free music 8 is my least favorite of all the royalty-free music.
Do you search these out and load them in, or is someone else doing that for you? How does this work?
It's a team effort. Yeah. Everybody's submitted a share of songs.
So Riley's doing all the work. Riley and Hunter are doing all the work, and Wooly, is that how that's going, or
pretty much?
Team effort. Yeah,
there you go.
Hmm?
You know what else is a team effort? Is your success on Prize Picks? What did you do over the weekend? I lost track of.
Yeah,
that
we had a good weekend. Thanksgiving was good, other than. I would have had a really good weekend if old boy catches. Jesse was all over telling me, Wiley's going to catch that 1 yard. That's all he needed.
I'm glad I did a flex play because I still won. We had 3 out of 4. Would have been a big payday if Wiley would have had a catch for a yard. Yeah. Still was winner.
Can't run one. He had a pass thrown to him.
He drew a pass interference penalty. That's the difference. It's a game of inches.
We needed a catch.
That guy doesn't grab his arm. Man. He catches that ball.
I'm going to tell you this. It's still fun, and it's the holiday season. Best time of the year for sports. Bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and it's all happening at one time, and it always feels good to be right with Prize Picks, the simplest way to play daily fantasy. Make your player picks less than 60 seconds. Choose more or less on at least 2 player stats. Get them right and you can cash in. And new this season, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you might be able to cash out before the game even ends. And with stacks, I told you to stack up on McCarthy a couple weeks ago. Pick, 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 pick. You can do that. You can do Giannis. You can do Steph. All of it. Deposits are fast and easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI, and you'll get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good
to be right. We will be right in the 11 o'clock hour right away in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.